Hello, everyone, and welcome to TechStart Live. I'm Larry Williams, President and CEO of TAG, the Technology Association of Georgia. I'm pleased to bring you all a new weekly podcast featuring our technology community's best and brightest leaders, Georgia's hottest innovations, and key developments from our state. We remain the number one place to do business, and Georgia's technology companies are leading the way. This podcast is about how our TAG members are leading us through this crisis by managing, solving, and curing the major problems that face us today. I'm joined today by Betsy Plattenberg. She is the Executive Director of Curiosity Lab at Peachtree Corners, a self-described open innovation Sherpa. Great title. Betsy is an innovation expert, passionate about connecting non-traditional partners and to drive technology development. Betsy manages day-to-day Curiosity Lab operations and its 25,000 square foot technology incubator focused on early stage IoT, mobility, and smart city startups. Betsy and I have known each other for a good time. I'm not going to start aging either one of us, but we've had a lot of opportunities to collaborate and interact around mobility and IoT and a lot of things. And you're doing fabulous things up in Peachtree Corners and Curiosity Lab. So, you know, Betsy, anything, just give us an introduction. What is Curiosity Labs and what's your role and what are you doing?
Thank you, Larry. I really appreciate the opportunity. Curiosity Lab is a very unique public-private partnership, which originated as an economic development project with the city of Peachtree Corners, where we took an existing commercial technology park, a 500-acre tech park that was created in the 1960s by a Georgia Tech grad named Paul Duke, who wanted to retain technology talent in Georgia. And Georgia Tech grads needed a place to go to keep them in state. So Mr. Duke created a tech park and recruited technology companies to this area, much like other large research parks at the time. Many people may know Research Triangle Park in North Carolina. And in the 60s, the color printer was invented here in Tech Park, Atlanta, as well as the modem. So fast forward to today, the city of Peachtree Corners is a seven-year-old city. And when the city was created, right smack in the middle was Tech Park, Atlanta. So what we did, we looked at this business hub in the middle of Peachtree Corners and thought, how can we take it back to its heyday of when it was really a technology center for Atlanta, had a lot of different thoughts about how to do it, but came up with the idea of creating an innovation hub around mobility, smart city, and IoT technologies.
I love the vision as you presented it to me, and I love coming over. And it was really about a living laboratory. It wasn't just about having a test track. I mean, from the beginning, it was talking about, let's put this and stand this up on active roads. So talk more about that vision and then some of the process of, you know, the policy consideration.
So you heard me say earlier, it's a 500-acre technology park. So we've got 8,000 people that live in the park and another 1,000 who, I'm sorry, 8,000 people who work there, another 1,000 who live there. So the living lab, think of it a little bit like a university campus where there are multiple locations on our campus of Curiosity Lab. The one most people talk about is our 1.5-mile autonomous vehicle test track. It's actually a 3-mile loop. It cuts right through the heart of the park. Real people are there walking, driving, biking, and interacting with anything that's there testing in real time, which is why we call it a smart city living lab. We also have a 25,000 square foot innovation center where we have technology startups and corporate innovation teams. But the living lab means that as somebody's out there testing it, it's unpredictable. We don't know how people will interact with things that are testing. And that's what makes it appealing.
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about the track because it is one of the features, and then we'll talk more about the full lab concept. I know one time, sort of in the beginning, the idea was autonomous vehicles and how they interact with each other was kind of an impetus and get it rolling. But you really found out so many more applications, the sensors, the collection of the data, then the analytics of the data became just, if not more interesting than, you know, the actual physical movement on the track.
Absolutely. Right? So most people think about testing and they do think about vehicles. They think about things running up and down the track. And we were fortunate for the first 4 months of operation, we did have an autonomous vehicle running. Local Motors provided an ollie shuttle, and the shuttle went back and forth on the track and was available for people to take rides. Now, most people thought it was there just for the rides, which were fun, but Ollie was actually testing the entire time that it was running here in Peachtree Corners. And they collected a lot of data, to your point. Ollie learned about interacting with real traffic. In the past, it had been on a dedicated track, but when it had cars driving alongside it, it learned new things that cars do in an uncontrolled environment. I like to think about artificial intelligence as being like a toddler, and every AI system is a little bit different. So the artificial intelligence in Ollie had to learn things that are unique to our track and to Georgia. So I'll give you two examples. One, we have a 13% grade in our track. This matters a lot for computer vision as it's looking ahead. Sometimes it sees a solid wall of darkness. It appropriately stops, but Ollie needed to learn. All these things have names. So Ollie, you know, we all kind of envisioned Ollie as a boy, just because we all tend to do that, right? So Ollie learned about grade changes. Ollie learned about rain. And Ollie learned about pine straw here in Georgia, because today there might be a big stack of pine straw. Tomorrow it might be blown to another place. It might not be there at all on the fourth day, and there could be more on the fifth day. So there are all kinds
of... Now he's learning about pine.
Go ahead.
No, sorry. I'll say that now he's learning about pollen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but Ollie has departed. So you actually made a good point. So we have different things testing at different time. And Ollie was with us for 4 months. I had a lot of great learnings, and we were delighted that they were here.
That's great. So out there on the front of the stage with the test track, it's also about... the packages being delivered. And I think you have a vision of other things that can start to come in. And talk a little bit about the further vision, how this is going to interact with drones. Centralized package delivering, a truck could stop and then send out drones into a mile radius or whatever it is, and then come
Absolutely.
Back. I know that's all part of the vision.
So we envision package delivery as being one of the concepts that's tested here in the park. Because the city owns the road, the right-of-way, and the sidewalks, we have the ability to test a wide variety of things and to give permission quickly. So, for example, on autonomous delivery, a large truck could come to a central location, drop off packages, and then delivery drones and or robots could take them from there to their delivery spots throughout the park. And we have many companies in the park who have volunteered to help test that technology. We are open to drone testing under 400 feet, and then also testing, as I said, on the sidewalk or on the right of way. We have a local company that's just joined our ecosystem. Many of you may be familiar with Greensy Autonomous Lawn Mowing. They were featured at our grand opening, and we're excited that they will be working a little bit more closely with us. But that's another example of an autonomous future that's hard to imagine today, but it's coming.
Really is. It's here now, and it's coming in a greater way. I know we got the vacuum cleaners inside the house roaming around, and so lawnmowers are just the obvious next step on that.
I was going to say it's fun to be on the front line because we get testing inquiries from around the globe of what people think next generation technology will look like. We've had a lot of inquiries for personal transport machines. And I say that because one of the callers said to me that when cars were invented, people made cars to look like a horse and buggy. They made a big rectangle where people sat. And that's what we knew, right? So that's what we made. They said in the future, people may be in much smaller transport vehicles and may go slower. And at first I had trouble really grasping that, but they said most people don't go more than 3 miles from their home and most people travel alone. So if you think about that, the personal transport vehicles of the future may look nothing like what we've got today.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's great. So this is a unique type of a situation, right? Curiosity Labs. Let's talk a little bit. We've got the track, and I'm sure we'll come back to that. But let's talk about what's going on in the labs. What's going on in the on the other 497 acres that's going on, but you've got facilities, you've got people out there testing, interacting with the live environment, and then also in a laboratory environment. Tell us about some of those things that are going on and how that's
So we have a prototype design lab where companies can take their hardware startup from wherever it is and tweak it and make improvements where they don't have to send it out. We've got 3D printers and we've got some expertise available to help people move their prototype from early stage to a little bit further along. We also have office space, whether you can have an individual desk, you can have a cluster of desks, you can have private offices. But in our innovation center, we also have a network operations control center. And so if you are here testing on the track, you've got a place to, sort of like the air traffic control center at an airport, a place where you can watch the entire track, manage your technology, collect information. But probably most importantly, you can interact with other people in the innovation center.
That collaboration is extremely important, right? Are people very open? Are they sharing data and they're sharing best practices and observations?
I think right now what they're discovering is there are a lot of people that you wouldn't necessarily think are interested in the future of autonomous vehicles from multiple industries. And what we have been very proud of our ability to do is connect non-traditional partners as they learn, wow, we're interested in this. We had no idea that other industry was interested in whatever this is for completely different reasons. A big trend we're seeing right now is around teleoperation of vehicles. So I'll share two testing bits companies because I think that's interesting. We had a company, a California company, who was testing teleoperation of tractor trailers. In that case, they drove tractor trailers in Peachtree Corners with no drivers. Very intimidating, but fascinating to see a large rig drive by, park, drive around other vehicles. We also have seen teleoperation of smaller individual vehicles too. So if you think about anyone who's got teenagers probably spending a lot of time in the basement right now playing video games, you do have people with screens who take over operation of autonomous vehicles when they run into trouble, or they just take over and steer them around, which is really kind of interesting.
That's extremely interesting. So you've got, to your point, you've got a variety and a wide span of industry partners that are interested in this. So obviously Sprint's a partner for 5G, Georgia Power, very interested in what's going on, and several others that, like you said, might not be obvious type of partners.
We're delighted to have some large corporate partners on board, and Larry just mentioned several of them. So Sprint is providing 5G. Our 5G is up and running today. We actually have Sprint experts on site in our innovation center to help startup companies and more mature companies figure out how they're going to use 5G. So we have a 5G utilization lab on site with experts. Georgia Power is providing smart poles and is helping us look at all kinds of technologies around EV charging and other things that will be more prevalent in the future. We have Hargrave Fiber, who has provided dedicated fiber for the track, which is a tremendous asset for us. We can separate any testing technology from the rest of the city's network. And we have other technology partners that are contacting us on a regular basis, interested in bringing their infrastructure to Peachtree Corners so that they can be a part of our test lab. And we welcome that. We're very excited about new infrastructure partners we'll be announcing later in 2020.
Yeah. And so it's good that you mentioned fiber, because I always say that it takes a lot of wires to be wireless. And so all of this infrastructure is important about how you deliver and be able to develop all the structure that's required for all this great technology. Now, you referred to a minute ago that you're getting international acclaim. You're getting people pinging you from around the world about this. Is that right?
We are, and for several reasons. One, we do not charge for access to our testing infrastructure, which is very unique. Because one governmental entity owns it, we can give permissions very quickly, which is of interest. The track itself has three features which we didn't realize at first would be as critical as they are. It's the 13% grade that I mentioned earlier. It's got big sweeping curves and tall mature shade trees, all of which matter for computer vision.
As you bring back all these components, this idea of one government entity has been important ever since the beginning, right? You didn't have to have federal, state approval. You could make these decisions based on policies within Petrie Corners.
Yes, we can. We can make very quick decisions around testing. We've had the support of the government and everyone who works in Peachtree Corners, who sees this as a very innovative way for the city to attract businesses for the short and the long term.
And so how's the community responding to this? So if I think about, you know, if I was just sitting at a stoplight and then saw this, autonomous tractor trailer coming down the street and a few drones fly by, I might wonder what's going on. So how's the community?
I think people are learning. So if you were to come into Curiosity Lab, you'll see a lot of signage, a lot of digital signage, letting you know that you're entering a very unique environment and to hopefully put your cell phone down, pay a little bit more attention than you might otherwise. And we think there'll be some really fun things for people to see. More close to 1,000 people took a ride on Ollie, which was great. Yep. We're seeing a lot of interest from STEM educators who want to show kids what the future looks like. We have a very special partnership with the Paul Duke STEM School, which is a second year STEM high school located about a mile and a half from us. We've got interns from the high school who have spent time in the lab, and we work with them to find opportunities to connect the kids to real world experiences, because theory is great, but sometimes you just got to see stuff.
Put your fingers on it. Are you doing internships and other programs in the summer for kids?
We do. We try to connect the students with internships with our startup companies. Last summer, we were fortunate to have a group called Kids for Coding, who taught coding camps on site in our innovation lab. This year, they'll be teaching them at the Paul Duke STEM School, and probably some remotely. We also have cohorts from Georgia Tech for professional education that take place at our Innovation Center. We've actually got Georgia Tech classes four nights a week, and on the weekends where students who have already graduated or are 18 or over are learning data analytics and coding skills.
That's great. And then just that ability for them to interact with the people that are actually there is extremely, extremely important. You had referred to the grand opening, which I think, you know, y'all had been up and operating for a while. Ollie was there. I got a chance to ride Ollie. You had the other exhibits. But the interest came at all levels of Georgia. The state government was there. They were represented and celebrating along with the county, your city, and then a lot of the surrounding areas. Talk about the support that you've been getting out of policymakers and the interest from them.
Well, again, this is such a unique project and we're early. We just opened in September of 2019. So what we have found is to some degree, we are helping to educate people about what technology is there today and what technology is coming as we provide this place to explore. All of us, for the most part, are new to what autonomous technologies will bring. We have glimpses and we all have our ideas. We've seen television shows, which sometimes are not that far off from where we're going, but we're all learning, and we like to tell companies and legislators and others that this is a playground. We're trying to create an infrastructure playground for companies to bring their technologies to try them out, to improve them, and then take them out into the real world. We're not the innovators ourselves; we just facilitate innovation.
If we go back to this whole idea about open innovation, what that means to y'all and how are y'all implementing it at Curiosity Lab?
So open innovation is a great concept. If you roll back the clock long enough, companies and even research institutions looked inward to innovate. Everybody thought their experts were the best. But as a concept called open innovation is entering into everybody's conscience in the last several decades, where the idea is the smartest person maybe isn't on your team, maybe the smartest person's on another team, but if you can bring teams from different perspectives together, you can create synergy around ideas and concepts and sort of fast track ideas that in isolation might be okay, but when you get lots of people working on them, you can make great leaps forward.
So that's extremely important in this idea of what's going on inside the walls at Curiosity Labs, and then being able to interact with the external environment, and then also the teams that are coming together with bringing different perspectives. So again, this is a true laboratory, a living laboratory for open innovation. Is that right?
It is, absolutely. And we learn things from every meeting that we have, whether we're meeting with the insurance industry, the things that they're interested or concerned about, or whether we're meeting with a software company or cybersecurity. There's a great interest in what the future will bring, and autonomous vehicles will change entire industries in ways that we can't even imagine.
So you've always been a proponent. You've always, from a visionary point of view, you were an early adopter, Betsy. You've been thinking about mobility, how the wireless world is going to work and affect us. Now that you've got this hands-on laboratory right here at your fingertips, how is it, have there been any revelations or any observations of what the future looks like and what it can really do? And let's bring it down to the person on the street, that it can really do to affect, hopefully positively, our lives.
Well, I think that my biggest takeaway is connectivity. In the future, we have glimpses of it now. Everything's connected to everything. And we talk about V to X, or vehicle to everything. But when the point comes and we're taking baby steps towards it, where your phone is talking to your house, is talking to your car, is talking to the gadgets in your house, and everything is connected, it's an amazing world. It's a little bit of a scary world, but we're going there one way or another. So it's fascinating to learn. Each person has their own take on what that means. And I think it's really fun for those of us working on it to hear technology ideas and to be on the forefront.
Well, let's go a little bit to the gray area, the scary unknown part, because I know that part of it is about security and privacy. I think there are people there that are looking at that and testing it. So what are some of the perspectives that you're seeing from a security and privacy point of view?
Well, if you think about a connected city and everything's connected, it better be safe as we connect more and more things onto a network, because by its very nature, a network means that one thing is touching the other. And we like to think that everybody in the world is good, but not everybody is. So there are bad actors out there that will try to do things to our connectivity that we need to be very, very cautious of. So we have some government agencies that will be coming in and using our data operations center to test technologies. We've got small governments, we've got small companies, large companies. Everybody is interested in it for different ways, and it has different expertise that they're bringing to solving that problem, whether it's a physical solution or a network solution or just about anything in between.
You know, I remember whenever autonomous vehicles were just coming online, especially on the West Coast, and they were putting them on and mixing them with drivered vehicles. There was once a traditional newspaper had a headline that said, two autonomous vehicles almost collided. And then there was a headline in a tech magazine that said, they didn't collide. They actually worked the way they were supposed to work. The sensors were there. They detected each other. One slowed down. The other one merged in, and it worked exactly the way that it was supposed to have worked. So as we see the observations.
You know, I think about it like flocks of birds. You know, when you see birds in the sky, and they all kind of, they do this crazy turn all at the same time. They're communicating in some way that we don't see or we're not aware of. But that's sort of how cars will be in the future. And I like to think about all the things that won't be here in a positive sense. So think about all the clutter we have with signs. Well, the vehicles are communicating to one another. Maybe we won't need stop signs and yield signs and no parking signs and a lot of the visual clutter that we have today. So there's some really fun, fascinating things to think about that in a connected future we won't need and we won't miss.
So a variety of speed limits would just be programmed in. You're getting near a school. It automatically slows down. You don't need a sign to tell you. Is that the type of thing?
Yeah. Well, think about it. We won't be driving, right? So another entity will be transporting us. And as long as that entity is communicating with the other entities and avoiding them, we as basically a passenger won't have to be responsible for making those decisions. AI will be making those decisions on our behalf.
One of the great things is about how a lot of this technology is affecting each other. So I believe that with Ollie, So moving into a different type of the technology that even part of Ali, I think the transmission, you can correct me, is actually created in with a 3D printer. Is that right?
Ali is really fascinating. Yeah, a lot of the component parts of Ali were 3D printed, which again is a whole brand new world of the way things will be manufactured more and more in the future. And it's a great story. I think that's actually one of the things we got a lot of traction with kids when we talked about Ali, because they could envision that in some ways a little bit differently, a little bit better than adults did.
All right. So is Ollie ever going to come back? You going to get him back, or is he going to be a permanent part?
Well, Ollie probably won't be back, but there'll be other vehicles with other names with other companies. But we expect to have a wide range of autonomous vehicles here testing in the years to come. And it'll be anything from little personal transport things to much larger group transport vehicles, to things that we'll be testing through the airways, on the signs, at the bus stops. There's a lot of fun, exciting, and interesting technology coming our way.
Anything you want to preview? Anything you can let us know that'll be coming that we should be keeping an eye out for?
I can't now, but I would suggest that you keep your eye on our Twitter feed and our website, and we'll do our best to communicate as soon as we can things that are out there and things to watch for.
Good. What else is going on that you want to share with us today as we wrap up?
I think I would just like to say that we're all learning right now why a connected world from a technology perspective is different and is upon us. And I think we'll all come out of our current challenges with an appreciation for connectivity, both virtual and in real life. And we just send our well wishes out to everybody, and we look forward to better times ahead.
Yeah, it's, we're all hanging in there. Appreciate what you're doing. I hope, is the labs moving? Are people working from home and still doing the analytics and engaged?
Our facility is open for those who wish to go in. We have employees are working remotely. We have a few startup companies that are still using the facility, and others are working from home. Everybody's adapting and trying to figure out ways to move ahead.
Well, again, that living laboratory, we get to test working in an autonomous world and working remotely as well. So yes. Betsy, thanks so much for joining us today. And thanks to everyone who's listening. We will be back soon with another edition of TechStart. On behalf of TAG, we look forward to continuing to serve our tech community as we weather COVID-19, but also as we move forward. Technologists and technology is in high demand right now. And I think we're really proving what it is that we can do as we not only work to navigate the world that we're in today and how we're working and interacting, but also what we can do to face the challenges of the day and help solve this crisis. So thank you all for listening.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to be on. And I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Betsy, always great to see you.